Thank you for listening to an audio resource from Stanwich Church, located in Greenwich and Stamford, Connecticut. The vision of Stanwich Church is to know Christ and make him known.
The gospel lesson for today is from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 9. This can be found on page 1077 of your pew Bible. On the morning after the Sabbath, Jesus' disciples discovered that the tomb he had been laid in was now empty. Soon they would have to face encounters with the risen Christ. A reading from John chapter 20, beginning with the first verse. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
We left the sanctuary last Sunday with our children waving branches in celebration. We were celebrating the triumphal entry of Jesus, and it led us into Holy Week. But for the disciples, it wasn't Holy Week, it was a week from hell. We call it Good Friday, but there was nothing good about it for them. Triumphal entry would end in tragic ending for them, and all the life would have been snuffed out of them. I want to remind you, death physically is permanent. And when you hit the shock of it, you try to work your way through it. On Good Friday, we left here in silence to remember Holy Saturday, but it wasn't holy for them. It was Silent Saturday. See, we read back through the resurrection, but they had no idea what was coming. And so resurrection changed everything for them. And if we will allow it, resurrection can change everything for us where we find ourselves today. That's the account that we have from the Gospel of John. All four Gospels have accounts of the resurrection. And it goes this way. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Who is this Mary? Peter, Paul, and Mary wasn't just a folk group in the 60s, for those of you old enough to remember them. Peter's in the Bible, Paul's in the Bible, but there's lots of Marys. It gets confusing to figure out which Mary. This is Mary Magdalene. She's the one we're told in Luke chapter 8 had seven demons cast out of her. She was a woman who was bound, who was set free by Jesus, and she traveled with him. She saw Jesus do the healing. She saw Jesus send darkness away in other places. She saw the authority by which he spoke. She heard all of his words. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the resurrection and the life. But now, this Jesus is dead. And she comes to the tomb. What's she doing at the tomb? She's brought spices, according to Luke, to anoint Jesus' dead body. Those of you who have been around for a while have heard me say this before. If they had expected resurrection, she would have had breakfast, not spices. And the tomb's rolled away. What does it tell her? Well, the stone had been rolled away from the tomb, but it really didn't tell her anything yet. In fact, two times in John's account, she's going to say to the disciples and then to angels, "They have taken my Lord's body away. I don't know where he's at." Peter and John come running up. Peter's older, so he gets there later. John peers in, but Peter, no reserve in him whatsoever, runs right into the tomb. And the scripture says that he saw the linen cloth lying there, and the face cloth had been folded and laid to the side. When John sees it, the scripture says he believed. Well, what did he believe? What was about that folded cloth? Remember, John, even though he wasn't close to the cross like Mary Magdalene, even though John wasn't at the burial of Jesus, when Mary saw Jesus' body laid flat and cold in the tomb, John was far enough away when he heard Jesus say, "It is finished." And what was finished? Jesus had taken the sin that we deserved, and he had taken it upon himself to provide a way for us to have life. So what's the deal with the folded cloth? In that time, an artisan would do his work in his studio, and you didn't want to have someone see your artwork in the middle. If there's any painters here, you know what that's like. People that reconstruct houses, you don't want somebody to come in the middle of the project because it looks worse in the middle than it actually does in the end. Is there an agreement on that? Yes. Yeah. You think, how am I going to get out of this mess that I just created? Well, when an artisan wanted to show that his work was done, he would take his face cloth that he'd been wiping his face with, and he would have put it out on the edge of the studio, and that signaled for the people to come in and see the work. So even in resurrection, Jesus is saying, "It is finished. The work that I have come to do." But this wasn't enough for Mary. See, resurrection is not just an idea. It's not just a theological truth. It's not just a slogan that we use on Easter Sunday to hype up our sense of excitement. Resurrection is about a connection with a living person, and his name is Jesus. So the text goes on, and Mary is weeping outside of the tomb. She's undone. This hasn't turned out the way she wanted. Even though the stone has been rolled away and the tomb is empty and there's a folded cloth, she's still trying to figure these things out. A couple angels appear to her and she asks again, "Where have they laid my Lord?" And she turns around and Jesus is there. And Jesus has these words to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" But Mary did not yet recognize him. This is part of the mystery of resurrection. Jesus waits until we're ready for him to be revealed to us. Maybe he's revealing himself to you today in a fresh way. And in these moments, he looks at her and he says, "Mary." And hearing her name, she knows in the intonation of his voice that this is the one she had put all of her hope in. She turns and says, "Rabboni." And the scripture says she ran back to the disciples and said, "I have seen the Lord." See, this fulfills what Paul says is the summary of the gospel. He says, "This is the good news I good newsed you with, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried according to the scriptures, that he was raised from the dead according to the scriptures, and he appeared to many." It was Mary having Jesus walk into her life that changed everything about her reality. I'm going to say it again. Theological truth about resurrection won't win the day until Jesus speaks our name. Is he speaking your name today? See, I can go through all of the reasons why I believe in resurrection. And people say, well, the disciples made it up to make their life better. 10 out of 11 of them die as martyrs at fire and sword, and some are even crucified. You don't lie to make your life worse. Hello? When you were little kids lying, you weren't trying to get in trouble by your lying. You were trying to get out of trouble. And I can imagine the first 5 or 6 because of peer pressure saying, okay, let's hang on to this lie so nobody knows. But number 8 or 9 would have said, you know what, this is becoming an old story. I'm going to give up the lie because it's going to mean prestige and power for me. Some say, well, they were lying because they had this sense that they wanted Jesus to believe. Maybe it wasn't a lie, it was the best hope that they had. They were hallucinating. Well, psychologists will tell you that you don't hallucinate in groups. And shock therapy gets you out of your hallucination really quickly. Did I mention sword, fire, and crucifixion? See, everything about the story is proven historically. Simon Greenleaf, who was the founder of the Harvard Law School, says that beyond reasonable doubt, these are stories that are true. You wouldn't make it up this way. First of all, in antiquity, you wouldn't have a woman as your first witness for resurrection. And you certainly wouldn't have her the first preacher of the gospel, unless you're Stanwich Church, who believes women still can preach. Now, that was pretty weak. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Resurrection changes when Jesus walks into your life. I believe he's walking into some of your lives today. You see, the open tomb, the stone rolled away, is not to allow Jesus out. The stone rolled away is to allow us in. That the truth of what he's done to give us life will change everything about us. Love the fact that you picked because he lives. Ingrid's father died in 1983. We had just been married for less than a year. And that was the song that they sang at his memorial service. He called me about 5 weeks before his death. He had had leukemia for 8 years. He went out of remission and he was in an acute state. He called me at 6 a.m. That's back when we had landlines. You can explain to your kids what that is. And I woke up, didn't know where I was at, and the first words out of his mouth were, "The day I feared most, I now look forward to the most. I'm about to be with Jesus." You see, this changes the game. People ask me, does resurrection really matter for our faith? Well, it matters for those who have faced death. I buried my father and sister. I poured their ashes into the ground in 2022. I'll do it for my mom in May. Some of you have experienced death in this past year. In the last 15 months, 3 of my best friends have died. Resurrection mattered for them, and resurrection matters for me because one day I'm going to end up with them. That's the one thing we all have in common. We were born and we will die. But on the other side of death, is life eternal waiting for us. It's the gift of Jesus himself who said, "I am the resurrection and the life." After the Apostle Paul, probably the greatest good news preacher in history was a man by the name of Billy Graham. Any of you heard of him? Yes. Billy, as he was aging, was struggling with his health. He had Parkinson's disease. And the local community wanted to honor him one last time, so they said, "We're going to put a luncheon on for you." And he was a little bit nervous because wherever Billy goes, he's asked to speak. Billy said, "I'll come, but I'm not sure about speaking." In the course of the dinner, he misplaced his notes. He got up to the podium, and the first thing he said, "You'll notice I have a new suit on. My family was feeling that I was looking a bit ragged these days, so they bought me a new suit." He said, "I'm going to wear this suit twice, now and when they bury me." And he said, "You know, I've been forgetting my way. It reminds me of the story of Einstein." He said Einstein was leaving Princeton University and traveling to his home one day, and on the train, he dropped his train ticket, and he was down on the ground trying to find his train ticket, and the conductor came by, and the conductor said, "Oh, Mr. Einstein, we know who you are. You don't have to worry about your train ticket. We got you covered. You would never cheat the train system." Conductor took all the tickets and was coming back through the train, and there is Einstein on the floor looking for his ticket again. And the conductor was very apologetic, and he said, "Mr. Einstein, please, we know who you are." And Einstein said, "Oh, young man, I know who I am, but I forgot where I'm going." To which Billy Graham said, "One day you're going to hear from somebody that Billy Graham died. Don't believe a word of it. I'll be more alive then than I am now. I will just have changed addresses. I will be in the presence of God. He is risen is more than a slogan. I put my hope in Jesus. Amen.
To learn more about the mission and vision of Stanwich Church and how you can get involved, please visit stanwichchurch.org.